Good evening, everybody. A couple of announcements. We, of course, are here on Tuesday because that's every other Tuesday we come here on Tuesday. Also, we are on the radio on Sundays at 7 a.m. Youth group. Some interesting things happening in youth group. We'll have more to tell you about on Sunday, as long as the kids give me what they need to tell me by Friday. But it's going real well. And we also have a prayer meeting every Wednesday after service. All right. Please turn your Bibles to begin with, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Title of this evening's message, The Activity of the Spirit in the Lives of Church-Age Believers, Part 2. Ha! And you thought it was going to be on justification. But you see, what we have gotten into last Thursday and on Sunday, the Lord has made clear to me, is so vital, and there's so much to say. And I feel a little bit, in a small way, I start to understand a little bit more about what the apostles, what it was like to be an apostle when you're being guided by the Holy Spirit. Because I honestly, when I get up in the morning, don't know exactly what it is that he wants me to put together for tonight until I'm into it and he's showing me what he wants me to put down. I know that sounds a little weird, but I'm just telling you exactly what's happening to me right now. And but in any event, I want to begin tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where, and the Spirit of the Lord is where in the church age? You can talk in class. It's in the church, right? It's indwelling the believers. Good. There is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Justice from the Lord, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside us to transform us from glory to glory and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his job. That's his job. And if I'm God, I'm probably going to do my job. All righty, tonight let's get to into what we left off on Sunday. Again, the title, I don't have it up. I thought I did, but I guess I don't. Oh, well. The Activity of the Spirit in the Lives of Church-Age Believers. Now, that title is because on Sunday we started exploring something, and we're going to continue doing it tonight. We explored this question. Does the Bible make our confessing our sins in 1 John 1:9 the determining factor in our being filled by the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. That is the question on the board. Does the Bible make our confessing our sins in 1 John 1:9 the determining factor in our being filled by the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18? And we began on Sunday to look at that in earnest, and we were in 1 John. In fact, if you would again tonight, please turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. We are on a search to understand what the Bible has to say about this. And on Sunday, we started by looking in the letter of 1 John, and I gave you a homework assignment to do what? What was the homework assignment? Read what? John 13 through 17. So that's where we're going to go next. But the Lord was pointing things out to me, and there's a couple of things that we need to take care of that are in 1 John before we move on to the Gospel of John chapter 13. So we're going to start taking care of those things tonight. Now, I already told you on Sunday that I can't find that, right? I mean, that was the point of Sunday's message. I cannot find where in the Bible that the Bible makes confessing our sins, as in 1 John 1:9, the determining factor in our being filled by the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. And we started to look at that a little bit together. I can tell you that over years of study, from time to time, when this bubbled up, I have tried to find it. I've done everything I can to find a statement in the New Testament that confession of sins drives the activity of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the church-age believers he indwells. Let me say that again. I tried to find a statement in the New Testament that says confession of sins drives the activity of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the church-age believers that he indwells. I can't find it. I cannot find in the Bible where the Bible says that church-age believers who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that confessing our sins results in the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so, for my satisfaction, I made a definitive statement about that, which is that the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that confessing my sins results in the filling of the Spirit. That's a definitive statement, but it's also kind of a shock to a lot of people who have learned something different, and I know that. I've taught something different, so I know exactly what that's all about. I know the consternation because I've gone through it. How could I not and get up in front of you and say this? So I understand all of that, but I again would ask that whatever you do, please, at the end of the day, base your decision about what it is that you ought to believe on what the Bible has to say, period. But of course, I believe I have to demonstrate that to the best of my ability. And we're going to do that. And along the way, I know already that we're going to have our eyes opened to many other things as well. On Sunday, we looked through the letter of 1 John, and we did it with a single purpose. Remember, it was our homework assignment, and it was to read 1 John and then find passages that mention the Holy Spirit and see what the letter of 1 John says about the Holy Spirit. That was what we had told you to do on Thursday. We came back and worked on that on Sunday together. And because why? Because the unique spiritual life of the church age believer, the filling of the Spirit, cannot happen without the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking for the Holy Spirit. And we started reading in 1 John. Let's again tonight start in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning? Lord Jesus Christ. What we've heard, this is John, an apostle, the apostle Jesus loved. What we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, that's Jesus Christ. And the life was manifested. Right? Jesus Christ was the flashing forth of God the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. I want you to notice right away that expression. What is it? Have fellowship with us. Does it say be in fellowship? Is there in there? No, it's not. It says have fellowship with us. And then he goes on and he says, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father. Does he say I'm in fellowship with the Father? He says what? Our fellowship is something he has, and it's with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Does John give any hint when he says that, that that is something he could lose? Just looking at that statement, we're going to go through this slowly. Do you get any sense in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that what he's talking about concerning himself is something that he could not have anymore? No. These things we write so that our joy may be complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, of course, John just said that. So the we he's talking about is now broadening it out to anybody who's listening. If we say we have fellowship with, not does it say that if we say we're in fellowship? Nope. It says what? That we have it. We have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, whatever walking in the light is, it has something to do with God himself being in the light. We have fellowship with one another. Does it say we're in fellowship with one another? Nope, it says we have it. And the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. One of the things, you know what, we have to do is believe our beliefs and doubt our doubts. I just want you to just straight up tonight, I'm going to ask you a question. You can answer it out loud if you want. Is there any hint in your soul tonight that the blood of Jesus has not cleansed you from all your sins? Any hint whatsoever? Okay, good. Because you're a believer. He has cleansed, the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from all your sins. 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth isn't in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Okay, as we start out tonight, again, does this passage that we just read say something? This is a question based on the passage. What I'm going to do tonight is start in the basic passage that is the rebound passage, 1 John 1, 5 to 2-2. And I'm going to ask questions about it. And then we're going to fan out from there. And we're going to keep asking the same question till we end up asking that question across the New Testament, if we get that far tonight. But we're going to start right here in 1 John 1 and 2. Here's the question. Does the passage that we just read say, not what you might imagine, not what somebody's told you, but does this passage, God's word in the Bible, say that a person can go from being in fellowship to not being in fellowship? Does it say that? I mean, if it does, let's talk about it. Do it for yourself, though, please. At the end of the day, this has to be something that you are convinced of because you see it in the Word of God. Does this passage say that a person can go, let me put it another way, does it even say that a person can go from having fellowship to not having fellowship? Is there anything in this passage that says, yesterday so-and-so had fellowship, today he doesn't because of blah, blah, blah? Is that in this passage? Take your time. I want you to read it. Read it again. We'll read it again. Yeah. I don't know. I don't care what you think. I want to know. Does the passage say?
Well, I'm in verse 6.
Yep.
If we say, well, I'm reading in the least, but it's, what I was trying to get at was the concept of fellowship versus walking in darkness.
Right.
Because a believer can walk in darkness.
Terrence, you just nailed it. That is exactly what we have to answer this evening. Okay, but let's let everybody catch up. All right? So, good job. All right. Right. So now it's saying that, what is it saying? It's saying that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then it says, God's light, capital L. Okay? Somebody else is pointed to as the light too, by the way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, there's no darkness at all. Now, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. So if what you're saying is right, Terrence, and that a believer can walk in the darkness, you're right. You just proved that, yes, you can lose fellowship with God because you can walk in the darkness. Is that right? You with me on that? Good. Good. All right, I agree with you. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you just answered the question and talking about darkness. I asked the question talking about fellowship. So if you just look at the passage and say, does it say that somebody can go from having fellowship to not having fellowship? Just on the words fellowship.
Yes, it looks like it.
Show me that.
Well,
you can't talk about darkness and light, Terrence. You can only talk about fellowship. And whether this passage says, does it say that you can go from having it to not having it? Without using the word darkness or light yet. Can you?
Well,
this is important. This is not fooling around.
No, I'm reading that there are two states. There is a state of fellowship and a state of walking in darkness. And these are mutually exclusive.
Exactly. But that's not what I asked you. I agree with you. But you just used the word darkness. Yep.
If we say that we have fellowship, that's like we're saying we have fellowship.
Right.
If we're walking in the darkness. Is that
right?
That because we're in the darkness, we can think we have fellowship, but
sure.
We don't?
Absolutely. That's what it is. That's what it says. You can say anything you want.
Right.
But the point is that if you say you have fellowship, okay, whatever that is, and you walk in the darkness, you're a liar, which means if you're walking in the darkness, you do not have it. Great. But that wasn't the question. My question was, how about, does it say that somebody had it and then didn't? That's not what this says. It says, if you say you do and you're in the darkness, you don't have it. That's what this passage says. And then the next passage says, if we walk in the light, we have it. That's all it says. It says, if we walk in the light, we have it. Is that what it says? Good. Okay. Hang in there, please. All right, I got to get through this material tonight. Okay, because I asked you one question, you answered another. Please hang in with the darkness and the light, because we'll get there. All right, so I don't see that this passage says that a person can go from being in fellowship to not being in fellowship. In those words, there's nothing here that says that. And by the way, yes, we're starting here in this passage, and we are going to treat fellowship more comprehensively down the road. But I don't want to leave 1 John without examining the question. Again, same question. Does this passage, 1 John 1 to 7, or by the way, does anything in this letter say that a person can go from being in fellowship to being out of fellowship? All right, so what is said about fellowship in this passage? Well, the first thing is that John's fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. John, for one, gives every indication of being totally confident that he, John, is not in any danger of losing his fellowship with the Father and the Son. He is proclaiming things about Christ and eternal life so that the people he's writing to may also have fellowship with John and the apostles and others, the fellowship that John already has. But then there is this verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If a person says that he has fellowship with God and with Christ and yet walks in the darkness, he's lying. But that just says that a person who says something that's not true is lying. He's not. He's in the darkness. He does not have fellowship. So, your point, you cannot be in the darkness and have fellowship with God. You cannot. You cannot be in the darkness and have fellowship with God. But that wasn't the question. The question was, can you have fellowship with God and then after that go from having fellowship with God to not having fellowship with God? That's my question. 1 John 1, 7. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So here, we have a person in fellowship with John, and John is in fellowship with the Father and the Son. So here we have a person, what? Walking in the light and having fellowship with God. And that's perfectly consistent. If you're walking in the darkness, you don't. If you're walking in the light, you do. Are we all together on that? You'd agree with that, right? Okay, good. So that's the deal. But so far, there's nothing here that indicates that it's even possible to go from having fellowship to not having it. Only if you're walking in the light, you have it, and you're walking in the darkness, you don't. There's no in and no out, as I mentioned. It's only a question. Right now, all we have on the board is a question of having fellowship or lying about it. That's basically what we see here. You either have it or you don't. And if you say you have it and you're walking in the darkness, you don't. If you're walking in the light, you do. It all comes down, and I think it all comes down to whether a person can be in the light and go back to being in the darkness. Right, Terrence? Isn't that what it comes down to? Can a person be in the light and then go back to being in the darkness? If they can do that, then they can go from having fellowship to not having it. If they can't do that, then they can't go from having fellowship to not having it, at least according to 1 John. I mean, we can talk about it later other places. Now, I want to make a distinction between doing the deeds associated with darkness and being in the darkness. Because the Bible definitely says that we can do the deeds that are associated with being in the darkness. Let me suggest to you what if that means that even though you're born again, you can still act like an unbeliever. But you're not an unbeliever. You're not in the darkness. You're over here in the light. The light has come and shined on you. You're in the light. You can look over to the darkness and say, I remember when I was over there, and I did such and such when I was over there, and I can still do that because look, I'm in the light, but I have a body that can do what I want with it. So you can do the deeds of darkness. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, can you be in the light and then be in the darkness? All right. So that's what it comes down to. It all comes down to that. Can a person be in, according to the Bible now? Now, of course, if you just go off and start using your mind now, well, sure, any of us can think about being in the light and being in the darkness naturally. Because heck, you know, all I got to do is turn the light out and I'm in the dark. That's not a, so don't use your brain. Use the Bible. And that's what we're going to do. All right. So again, just to make sure this is crystal clear, because it's important. Does 1 John say that a person can go from being in the light to being in the darkness? Let's pay careful attention now and answer that question. Does 1 John say that a person can go from being in the light to being in the darkness? Let's read it again. There is the message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If somebody says they have fellowship with God and walk in the darkness, they're liars and they don't practice the truth. But if somebody's walking in the light as he himself is in the light, they have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this passage has a person who was walking in the darkness in verse 6. And in verse 7, there's a person walking in the light. Are they the same person? We don't know. All we know is that they sure don't look it, because one of them is walking in the light and one of them is walking in the darkness. I don't think it's the same person. And let me ask you this. What's the movement in 1 John? Is there movement that talks about going from light to darkness? Or is there movement about going from darkness to light? That's the key question here. And I would suggest to you that the movement is from darkness to light. That a person can go from darkness to light, but there's no indication that a person can go from light to darkness. Now, we're going to prove this, but for now, hold your place here maybe, but go to the second chapter of John, of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Because there's only one other section of 1 John that refers to either darkness or light. All right? And it's right here a few verses later in 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Let's read it. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness. What are the next two words? Until now. Until now. So far, they're in the darkness. That means they don't have to stay there, right? They can move. Okay. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. Do you see the words so far in that verse? No, they're not there. It just says that he's in the light, he abides there, he dwells there, remains there, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now I want to submit to you is what have we seen so far that would contradict the possibility, at least, that John is talking about walking in the darkness to mean an unbeliever and walking in the light to mean a believer? Does everything that we've read still work if that happens to turn out to be true? Let's see, right? If a person has fellowship with God and is an unbeliever, he lies. If he says he has fellowship with God and he's an unbeliever, he's a liar. He doesn't practice the truth. Is that a fair statement? If somebody is a believer, does he have fellowship with other believers? That could definitely well be true. I know you have your eyes on, but certainly at face value, that could be true. Of course it could. And if you're a believer, does the blood of Jesus cleanse you from all sin? That could be true. The one who says he is a believer and hates his brother is in the darkness until now, is an unbeliever until now. Could that be true? Could somebody who hates his brother be an unbeliever? Yes. The one who loves his brother, could that be somebody who's a believer? Could somebody who loves the brethren be a believer in Christ? Absolutely. And there's no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness, is an unbeliever. And he's walking in the darkness. He's an unbeliever. He doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Isn't that what the unbeliever is? Until his eyes are opened? Yes. All right. Now, in verse 8, things are changing. What direction are they changing in? What's happening to the darkness? In verse 8, it's passing away. And what's happening to the light? It's starting to shine. So what's the movement from? Was it all light and then it started to be darkness? Or was it all darkness and it's starting to be light? Isn't it all darkness starting to be light? The darkness is finally passing away and the light's already shining. I mean, it used to be totally dark, but now there's some light. So it's moving anyway from darkness to light. And there's no indication that there's any movement here from light to darkness. None at all. The movement, again, is from light to darkness. Now, when it comes to darkness and light, the darkness is passing away because the light is already shining. It was dark, it was night, but the light has risen and it's shining, and that means that the darkness is passing away. If this were a game of rock, paper, scissors, light always beats darkness. That's what this passage is saying. If you have light and you have darkness, light wins. Now let me just think about that. When light is here, darkness has no chance. It's obliterated, in fact. Right? If light comes on the scene, darkness goes. Darkness hides. Now, the fact is, if you factor in here, that we also know from John chapter 1 that the light is Christ. Now you're starting to get the point. The world was darkness. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. But then the light shines, and some come to the light. And then they become believers in Christ. And where the light is, the darkness cannot be. You have two kinds of people described here. People who hate their brother and are in the darkness, and people who love their brother and abide in the light. There's absolutely no indication that a person who abides in the light can ever go back to being in the darkness. At least not here in 1 John. By the way, and you know this is coming, I can't find it anywhere in the entire New Testament where it says that a person goes from being in the light to being in the darkness. They can do the deeds of darkness, but they cannot be in the darkness. Therefore, you cannot say from the letter of 1 John that anyone who has fellowship with God the Father and God the Son can ever lose fellowship with God the Father or God the Son. When it comes to the darkness, 1 John 2:9 talks about someone who is in the darkness until now. You see, that means an unbeliever can always believe. They're in the darkness till now, but they don't have to stay there. So there's a possibility, there's hope that such a person who is in the darkness will find himself being transferred from the darkness to abiding in the light. And again, there's no such qualifier in verse 10. It doesn't say anything about until now or so far. No such qualifier. The only kind of movement that is described in 1 John is from being in the darkness to being in the light. From walking in the darkness to abiding in the light and never the other way around. From not having fellowship to having fellowship. But never the other way around. At least not here in 1 John. And notice that John gives more information to help us understand what he's talking about when he describes a person walking in the darkness and a person abiding in the light. What does he say? He says that walking in the darkness is equated with hating your brother. And abiding in the light is equated with loving your brother. Not now, but when you get a chance, I want you to go back to the first chapter. And all I want you to do is see what happens when you plug in these equalities, little math problem for you, into walking in the darkness and walking in the light in verses 6 and 7. See if it still works. All right, one more thing. We have noted that in 1 John, the movement is always from darkness to light and never from the light back into the darkness. And that is another way of saying that you go from not having fellowship to having fellowship, but never the other way around. Now, here's the next question. Does that turn out to be true across the New Testament? Or is it just something cute that the pastor noticed in 1 John, but has no real meaning because lots of other places in the New Testament say that you can go from being in the light to being in the darkness? Well, let's start with John's gospel. We're going to head there soon anyways. Let's try that, start out tonight. Please go to John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Does the New Testament ever say that a person can go from being in the darkness to being in the light back into being in the darkness? That's the question. Does the New Testament say that a person can go from being in the light to being in the darkness? Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It was darkness, but then the light came, and it shined in the darkness. And things went from darkness to light, not the other way around. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16, you know this passage. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light. Have you heard hate tonight in connection with people in the darkness yet? Here it is again. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light. They stay in darkness for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth, what? Comes to the light. He was in darkness too, but he comes to the light. He went from darkness to light, which is the only way you can go in the New Testament, so that his deeds may be manifested from as having been wrought in God. Notice there are people who are in the darkness that stay in the darkness because their deeds are evil. They won't come to the light because they have hate. Just like the one who's in the darkness in 1 John hates his brother. Hate, 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 hate. There are other people who were in the darkness, but they come to the light. And again, nothing further is said here. I'm going to walk through every passage in the Gospel of John that has darkness and light. Okay, just so you know. I'm going to be very thorough about this. Every passage that talks about darkness and light. Here, anyway, nothing further is said. And we see that the movement is from people who are in darkness to people who are in the light. And there's nobody going from being in the light to being in the darkness. It's starting to be a trend. But I'm starting to think that such a move is simply not possible in God's universe, which is awesome. Because you know what we're talking about here? We're talking about believing in Christ. We're talking about having eternal life. We're talking about never losing eternal life. Well, the love of God made visible in Christ Jesus. So we are talking about, when we say you can never go away from the light into darkness, we're saying you can't lose your salvation. That's what we're saying here. Look, John 8:12, you can go there, but let me put it on the board. John 8:12. Let's take a look at this one. And you can go there too so you can see it in your Bible. Then Jesus again. This is Jesus speaking. All right, we had John speaking. But you know what? Something about the letter of 1 John? It's an echo of the Gospel of John. He's following on along, and he's going to add something. He's saying the Gospel of John was all about getting people to believe in Jesus Christ so they could be in the light. And the gospel, the letter of 1 John is big Christians who are being challenged about whether or not they have eternal security. And he's going to tell them stuff to make them sure, absolutely sure, that they cannot lose eternal life. So it follows along, but there's echoes, and you know we can see some of that. Look at John 8:12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am, one of the I am statements of Jesus, the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. but will have the light of life. He who follows me will not ever, ever, ever walk in the darkness, but will have forever the light of life. This is John and this is Jesus talking in John, and he is saying that whoever becomes a follower of Jesus will never walk in darkness again. And walking in darkness, according to 1 John, is not having fellowship. So this says that anybody who follows Jesus Christ will always have fellowship. Always, always, always. Whoever becomes a follower of Jesus, a believer, and I'll prove that to you in a minute. He's just talking about a believer. Because right after he says this, somebody shows up to challenge him on exactly this point about the light and about believers never walking in darkness and having the light of light. You know who it is? The Pharisees, the unbelievers. He is saying these things to unbelievers so that they can realize that they need to believe in Jesus Christ in order to never walk in darkness again. Look at John 8:13. So the Pharisees said to him, "You're testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Can you believe the, you know what? He's looking at the Son of God and he's saying, "You're talking about yourself, aren't you?" Yeah, he is. Your testimony is not true. The point I'm trying to make is that this whole thing is evangelistic. It's all about getting the Jews to believe that he's the Son of God. Look at John 8:23. John 8:23. To make sure that you're crystal clear that he's talking about believers and unbelievers. John 8:23. He was saying to them, the same people that questioned when he said, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life." The people that question that, this is what he says to them. He says, "You're from below. I'm from above. You're from this world. I'm not from this world." What's he saying? You're in the world. You're naturally minded. You're not a believer yet. "Therefore, I say to you, you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, and he is not in there, I am, you will die in your sins." Because "I am" was the name for the Lord Jehovah in the Old Testament. So he's talking about believing, and he's saying that anybody who believes in me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The direction is from darkness to life. And now Jesus is starting to really lay it on here. He's trying to say, absolutely, unequivocally, if you believe in me, you will not walk in the darkness, and you will have the light of life. You know, in fact, we're in chapter 8. The fact is that all of the Gospel of John, up until the end of chapter 12, is evangelistic. Did you know that? The entire Gospel of John, up until the end of chapter 12, is evangelistic, meaning pouring more and more information out there so that people will believe in Christ. Notice I said through the end of chapter 12. By the way, that's a strange coincidence in the Word of God. I don't know what it is about the number 12. But here you have 12 chapters to get the Jewish people to believe. And then switches, do you know what happens in chapter 13? Hopefully you do have some hint because that's your homework assignment. I hope some of you have already started it. What happens in chapter 13? There's a big old switch. It goes from evangelism to the Jewish unbeliever to what? Come on, guys, you know this. Chapters 13 through 17 in the Gospel of John are what? They're one thing. It goes by different names. Come on, people, you know this. If you don't, you're going to know this. One of the things that I've realized is that I got to get my people reading your Bibles. You got to read your Bibles. And so if you don't know this, you're going to know this. First John, the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17, is something called the Upper Room Discourse. Have you heard of that before? You have. I know you have. And the Upper Room Discourse is about what? This isn't hard. What's it about? Huh? That's a small part of it. Okay, the Lord's Supper is a small part of it. What's the whole thing about? Well, you'll find out because that's your homework assignment. Well, let me tell you something. It's about three things, basically. It's about the church. That's the big thing it's about. It's the only place in any of the four Gospels where the church is on the scene, talked about anyway. This is about to happen. What's about to happen? Two big things. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus says. Love one another as I have loved you. That's new. That's for the church. And then he also says, I will send you somebody. And he says, who's the somebody he's going to send? The Holy Spirit, because that's unique to the church. This is big, guys. The reason it's big is because, first of all, again, the strange coincidence in the Word of God that you get to the end of a chapter 12 of a book And the first 12 chapters are talking about getting the Jewish people to believe, and then it switches to the church. You find something similar in the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 13 of the Gospel of Matthew is a pivotal chapter when Jesus realizes that the Jews are not going to accept him as the Messiah. And he starts to teach in parables. He says, those that will get it will understand, but the ones who don't won't. Making a separation there. And in the book of Acts, at the child of chapter 13, Paul starts to say, all right, I'm no longer going to be working around the Jewish people. I'm going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. In chapter 13 of the book of Acts. It's a strange coincidence, isn't it? I don't know. I don't think so. Yeah, right. So, it's pretty good. Jesus stops calling himself the light at the end of chapter 12. And never calls himself the light again in the Gospel of John. Let me say that again. Jesus stops calling himself the light at the end of chapter 12, and he never brings that image back again. By the time we get to chapter 15 and the church, he doesn't use the image of the light. He uses another image, you know it, the vine and the branches. It's a different image. And one thing I know about vine and branches that you can't really tell them apart. They're in union, and they're staying that way. And but he does use the light when he wants to do what? Evangelize the unbeliever. I am the light of the world. Anybody who believes in me will not stay in the darkness, but will be in the light. Who's he saying that to? The unbeliever. The unbeliever. That's what he wants them to know. Once he gets to talk about the church in chapter 13, he never brings up the light again. Doesn't have to. By the way, the last reference to the light in the letter of 1 John is in chapter 2, verse 11. And he never brings that up again either. And isn't it interesting? What happens? In fact, go there. Go there. Go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. The last time he talks about the light and the darkness is verse 11. We've seen that when Jesus did it, he was evangelizing. And he was saying that those in the light are believers. And those in the darkness are unbelievers. And in 1 John, Jesus says the same thing. I mean, John says the same thing, that there's people walking in the darkness and people walking in the light. When he's done, what's the very next thing that we see in 1 John chapter 2? Verse 12. I am writing to you, little children, because what? Your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I'm done talking about darkness and light. I've been trying to present some more information of evangelistic nature from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through 2:11. I'm done with that now, and the first thing I'm going to talk to is the little children. And then he's going to talk to the people that are growing into adults, and then the mature. He's on to the church. And isn't it interesting that soon after that, you guys who did your homework last week, what's the first appearance of the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 John? Is it in chapter 1 when he's talking about light and darkness, evangelism? No. Is it before verse 12? Is it? What's the first one? Come on, it's your homework assignment. I can't believe you forgot it already. The first appearance of the Holy Spirit in the letter of 1 John is in chapter 2, verse 20, the anointing. When he's done talking about light and darkness and he's on to the church. You trying to tell me that's a coincidence? I don't think so. He's not in view. Holy Spirit is not in view in 1 John from chapter 1, verse 1, all the way to the end of chapter 2, verse 11. And it's in that section that John uses the imagery of darkness and the light. And we have a section in the Gospel of John, chapters 1 to 12, where we have the imagery of darkness and light. And it's all about evangelism. And a section after that in the Gospel of John, where the Holy Spirit comes on the scene. And it's the uniqueness of the church age. And he never brings up light and darkness again. So it's the same thing in John. At the beginning of letter 1 John, you have the imagery of darkness and light. And in the rest of the letter where the Holy Spirit is present, he's not present before, but he's present now. And John never brings the image of light and darkness into the picture again. When the darkness and the light of Christ are on the scene, it's evangelistic. Now, let's go read the last time that darkness and light show up in the Gospel of John. This will be good for your souls, I promise. John chapter 12, verse 27. John chapter 12, verse 27. This is the last time that light and darkness are brought up in the Gospel of John. What is it talking about? John chapter 12, verse 27. John By the way, I didn't know any of this a week ago. Okay? Did you hear me? I didn't know any of this a week ago. That's a humbling statement for me to make, but it's true. All right. John chapter 12, verse 27. This is the last time in the Gospel of John that Jesus refers to himself as the light. Let's read it, shall we? Now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Now who are they? They cannot even recognize the voice of God. They're unbelievers. Others were saying an angel has spoken to them. But Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, the prince of darkness. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. The light shines on every man, the Bible says, or available to every man. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was about to die. The crowd then answered him, we have heard out of the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Verse 35. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and he hid himself from them. But though he had performed many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. He is saying this to unbelievers. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and he has hardened their heart so that they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him. Isn't that interesting? Believing is in the heart. What's confessing? The lips. For fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. Look at verse 46. I've come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. The movement is always from darkness to light. Always, 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 always. The movement is always from darkness to light. It's never from the light back into the darkness. Ever. Ever. All right. So now, but you might say, well, you know, yeah, this is building your case because, you know, you're in the letter of 1 John. We saw it there. We were in the Gospel of John and we saw it there. But that's John. Maybe this is just a John thing. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 76. Let's see if that's true, that the movement is always from darkness to light and never from the light back into the darkness. Never. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And he's talking about believers and unbelievers. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And you, this is, by the way, the father of John the Baptist. Just to get the orientation. And you, child, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High, our Lord Jesus Christ. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender, by the what? Forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, unbelievers, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Please go to Acts chapter 26, verse 15. Acts chapter 26, verse 15. The movement is always from darkness to the light, It is never from the light back into the darkness. Never. Never. Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 15. Acts 26, verse 15. And I said, this is Paul now, talking about the road to Damascus, where a bright, shining light appeared in midday. Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light. It's always from darkness to light. It's never the other way around. And from the dominion of Satan, what's darkness? The dominion of Satan. That's why a believer can never be in the darkness again. Do you understand what this is saying? The darkness is the dominion of Satan. A believer is never going to be in the dominion of Satan again. To open their eyes. Remember, the unbeliever had his eyes blinded by the darkness. But now, open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified. How? How are they sanctified? By confessing their sins? No, by faith in me. The movement is always from the darkness to the light. It's never from the light back to the darkness. Never. Never, ever, 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 ever. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. The movement is always from the darkness to the light. From having no fellowship to having fellowship. From being in the dominion of Satan to the dominion of God. From being an unbeliever to being a believer. From being a child of darkness to being a child of light. The movement is always from the darkness to the light. It is never from the light back to the darkness. Ever. Look at Ephesians 5, 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes on who? The children of light? No, the sons of disobedience, unbelievers. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now you, believers, verse 8, were what? Formerly what? Darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not even participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things are visible when what? Exposed to the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Notice the movement in verse 8. What is it? Is it from light to darkness? It's never from light to darkness. It's always from darkness to light. You were formerly darkness, but now you are children in the light. You are the light of the Lord in the Lord. I'm reading it wrong. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Colossians 1. Please go to Colossians 1, chapter 1, verse 13. Oops. Colossians 1, chapter 13. We'll look at a few more of these. Colossians 1, 13. The movement is always from darkness to light, never the other way around. Never from the light into the darkness. Colossians 1, 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption. What else do we have? The forgiveness of sins. Isn't that interesting? We were in the domain of darkness. We were transferred out. The movement is always from the darkness to the light. It is never the other way around. And keep in mind that in 1 John, he equates, and we saw this is where we started. He equates abiding in the light with having fellowship with the Father and the Son. And with walking in the darkness to not having fellowship. The movement is always from the darkness to the light. It is never from the light back into the darkness. Ever. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. 1 equates abiding in the light with having fellowship with the Father and the Son. He equates walking in the darkness with not having fellowship. And the movement is always from the darkness to the light, from being an unbeliever to being a believer. It is never from the light back into the darkness, from having fellowship to not having it. Ever. Never, never, ever. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief, but you are all sons of light and sons of day. Please go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The movement is from darkness to light. It is never from light to darkness. You can go from being an unbeliever to a believer. You cannot go from being a believer to an unbeliever. And this is exciting. It's not only talking about fellowship here. It turns out it's talking about eternal security, because fellowship with God is a believer. I don't know how else to put it. Fellowship with God means that you're a believer. And not having fellowship with God means you're an unbeliever. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. The movement is always from darkness to light. It is never from the light back into the darkness, ever. 1 Peter 2, 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. This is how God thinks of you, all right? This is how he thinks of you. By the way, I cannot find a verse in the New Testament that says that if you don't confess your sins, he's not going to hear your prayers. We're going to get into that tomorrow night. Because this is how he thinks of you. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people for God's own possession, so that you may do what? Proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. The movement is always from darkness to light. It is never the other way around. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. In the epistles, the darkness is always reserved for the fallen angels and the unbeliever. Never for the believer. Ever. Let me say that again. I ran out of time tonight. I was still working on this message at 10 of 6. And then I started putting my slides together. That's why I haven't gone to them lately. Because they're not done. Okay? But this message is done. And this is complete. And this will change your life, if you understand what I'm saying tonight. In the epistles, please turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. In the epistles, the darkness is always reserved for the fallen angels and the unbeliever. Look at 2 Peter 2:17. It's never for the believer. Ever. Never. 2 Peter 2:17. These are springs without water and mists driven by the storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. That's the unbeliever. Please go to Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Verse 6. Jude chapter 1, verse 6. The movement is always from darkness to light, never the other way around. The light, people in the light are believers. People in the darkness are unbelievers. Jude chapter 1, verse 6. And angels who did not keep their own domain, but abandoned their proper abode, he is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, they are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Are you trying to tell me that there's any believer who is going to undergo the punishment of eternal fire? Then neither are they in the darkness. Period. Please look at chapter 1, verse 12. Jude chapter 1, verse 12. These are the men. Now see, when we talk about, here's what's happening. Angels first, fallen angels, darkness. Now he moves to men. So we get the point. These are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear. Unbelievers, caring for themselves. Unbelievers, clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead. Physically dead, spiritually dead. Uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting up their own shame like foam. Wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. Unbelievers, it was said about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones, believers in the light, to execute judgment upon all and convict all the ungodly, the unbeliever, of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which the unbeliever, the ungodly sinners, have spoken against him. The movement is always from darkness to light. Darkness is the unbeliever. Light is the believer. And I can't find any time in the New Testament where that isn't true. Good luck to you finding it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity this evening to come to an understanding about what 1 John is about and about what fellowship is about. Father, we just ask now for honesty and for the work of the Holy Spirit now to combine what we're seeing in your word with understanding and having it riveted in our souls and human spirits so we know exactly what this means. We ask it in Christ's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.